Clint Sterner. Look at Sterner.
95.7 The Fan presents...
Clint Sterner is the last man standing. Now, who is Clint Sterner?
His two strongest strengths, he's competitive and he's smart.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I'm going to put my hands on this bathroom counter and see if I can't twerk a little bit, see what it looks like, see what it feels like.
The Drive is live for Dirty's Daily.
Today's Dirty's Daily is powered by the one and only, baby, the queen of country music, Dolly Parton. We lost Dolly Parton today, y'all. Rest in peace, queen. I'd heard that Dolly was fighting some things. I didn't realize that it was this serious, but at 80 years old, man, she lived a good one. Impacted millions and millions of people, spanned generations of country music listeners, and what a treat. I'm talking about, I mean, big time memories back in the days, boys. I was born in 77. The 80s were full of mom and dad drinking cold beer. Schlitz was dad's beer of choice. So much so to the point somebody gave him a gold-plated tab, beer top, the old Schlitz tab that you pull off. He's got it around his neck right now on his gold chain. Not real sure what that says about Big Earn, but it's the truth. The old Schlitz, man, in Marlboro Reds, he was a Marlboro man. And Dolly Parton was on the radio back in the day in the front yard there on Park Street. And I'm going to tell y'all, I know there's a lot of good ones out there, boys. I know there's a lot of good Dolly Partons out there, Dolly Parton songs. I'm sure there's a lot of good Dolly Partons out there, too, if you want to refer to them as Dolly Partons, which is very, very accurate. Islands in the Stream was one that was that really, really touched me. And 9 to 5. 9 to 5 had a little upbeat, a little little bit of a get down there.
Great film.
Obviously, Jolene was good, but man, just full of great albums she put out, man. And we lost the queen, boy. So prayers up to the Dolly Parton family, and there won't be another one, boys. One of a kind, right there.
Yeah.
One of a kind, right there. So today's Dirty's Daily is powered by the one and only queen of country music, Dolly Parton. Today's a big day for multiple reasons, but one being the Texans dropped their new uniform. I got one pushback. And before everybody jumps on me on the text line, Doug Vosick was just here. The reason I didn't bring it up with Doug, because it ain't got nothing to do with the design. Nothing to do with the design. Favorite part, by the way, the fact that they made the U.S. in Houston a different color, yeah. So it's us. I mean, that's really cool, by the way. You guys see the videos that they drop?
Yeah.
Social media team's busy over there.
You guys see the video, the one in particular, which was done so well. The one with Bun, it had Slim in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Andre. It's in the parking lot. They got the slabs. They got the backdrop is the high, not only the city, but the highways of Houston. What's Nico doing, boys? I'm gonna let the boots and shorts. I'm gonna let that part slide. All right. Let that part slide because I know it's hot out there. I know he's young. I know these youngsters. Sometimes folks just throw some shorts on with some boots. I typically believe that's something that, especially if you're doing something like that or if you're going out in public and if this is a statement, I typically say you leave the shorts and boots for the ladies, right? But I'm gonna overlook the boots with the shorts. Man, you can't put 3 belt buckles on like that, man.
Okay, I think I saw a video.
You can't do it, man. In no world.
Has that become a thing?
No. Ain't no way. If it is, these youngsters are screwing up more than I thought. That, Tyler, did you see how many buckles he had on them damn britches, on that belt?
I didn't notice that part. I saw the video referencing. I must have ADD'd on
Tyler,
that part.
Whatever you're doing, it's worse. Stop it right now and go look. Okay. I'm telling you, it is. What is he doing, Chief? You can't do it. Look, Nico, you're a big, good-looking, football-playing son of a gun, so you can do whatever the hell you want to. I get it, Houston. He can do whatever he wants to. I get it. Come on, man. You can't throw three. You can't throw three rodeo sized belt buckles on in. Can't do that, man. What's he doing, man? You can't do it. So clean. So clean,
him, right?
Man. So clean. And I look down and he's got not one, not two, but three rodeo sized belt buckles on that joint. In fact, I need a damn belt buckle, Nico. Won't you give me one of them? I need a good size. I need a rodeo size. I just want one of them. Come on, man. I'm going to let the boots and the shorts slide, man. We can't take this Texas cowboy thing and add three. We can't put three belt buckles on, man. That just ain't it. That's my pushback for the day. That's my pushback. The jersey clean. The video off the charts. I mean, as accurately done as you could possibly get. And then Nico came with them three damn belt buckles. Boy, I tell you what. My only pushback, Ryan. You got any pushback on any of these unis?
I mean, listen, the only thing, and I told Doug a little bit, is I just the helmet, the red helmet on the battle red jerseys, the helmet where it has the bull that you need,
the bull horns,
horns that come out. I think that should be their helmet. Okay. I mean, I love that. Like when they're doing alternate uniforms. I think that should be if they had that in the white and the color scheme on there.
Okay. Woo. So you go with bullhorns. Tyler, you got any pushback?
No, none whatsoever. As soon as I saw them, I thought they were fire. I think they did a great job. Doug Vosick's always on top of it. I think they are legit as is.
But I understand the H and the significance of that and how that also factors in as another, node?
It's an ode.
I know, but you said node.
I said node. I put a lymph node.
Like that chick from Pitch Perfect got nodes on her vocal cords.
I have nodes.
Hey man, that's why you hang with cats like J Lo and like Reggie, J-Lo. Man. They get your vocabulary right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but I it's just another element that shows like this is a part of the history of the city.
Yeah, that's my only pushback to the whole thing is just I got a little bit of the H fatigue. Boys, I went in there, as y'all saw, I dropped $50 on the Texans hat. And it was literally the only original logo I could find. And I mean they got 4,000 hats in there. And I ain't kidding you, man. I bet there wasn't more than one that I'd wear. But I bet there wasn't five original Texans logo hats in there for men. For men, not that girl stuff hat. I didn't look over there.
You look over there.
Yeah. So but obviously, I mean, they ain't just blindly throwing stuff in the damn shop. I mean, obviously the H's are flying off the shelf, and they got some clean ones. The red on red that you mentioned is clean. But I've got a tad bit of H fatigue, but I get it. I understand it. This jersey knocked it out of the park. I think that was probably the only way to go.
Could people stop sending in weird stuff like uniforms don't mean squat if they don't win? We got it. We're not talking about the winning of the
They're going to win, man. The floor for this team is 10
wins.
We're
talking about the uniforms.
Yeah.
And everything they've done to kind of, I mean, come on. Yes, we know that. They'll wear white shirts and white pants if it meant that they'll win. We understand, but this is a unique thing they're doing.
I mean, look, if you don't get down
with killing the fun.
If you don't get down with Dolly Parton and white unis, then this ain't the segment for you. This ain't Dirty's Daily. It's not for you today. I will give Jalen Noel a little bit of love here, or maybe not love, but a mention. My answer is yes to this. Can Jalen Noel be the X factor that I thought he would be before training camp started? Ron, my answer is yes, but I'd like to get your thoughts on exactly how you think Jalen Noel fits in and how you think he helps this team moving forward now that it appears he's healthy and practicing.
I would say that I think there's a little bit more pressure taken off of him, right? I think there was probably a little bit more pressure taken off of him with maybe the emergence of Higgins, but now with Booty in, I think they're still in a similar vein. There was a point where you were looking at this thing, you're like they may need him to really jump out and be the second receiving option.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at it and you're like, that guy in this offense, you know, that's had Wes Welker, that's had Danny Amendola, that's had Julian Edelman, can he be the next one, be the second guy? But now I think there's a little less pressure on him. And if he can just kind of do his thing in the slot, along with special team stuff, I think he can be a real factor to this group. He's just now another addition. It's different when you drop him to, this is our third. He'll fourth if you put Dalton Schultz in there, fourth passing option.
Yeah.
Right now, I think it's this. All of this has bolded well for him in this time he's been out.
Yeah, look, I just think that there's a real chance. You mentioned the guys. You named the old Patriots. I just think there's a real chance that he fits into that mold, if you will, and could be truly an X factor in this offense. The reason I say yes, I got three reasons. One, there's no denying the QB friendly chemistry that Jalen Noll has, whether it's C.J. Stroud or Davis Mills or whoever's throwing the ball. I mean, he's just one of those guys that it's easy to let the ball cut it loose and because you know he'll track it. You know he's going to come out at the right angle. You know he's going to attack the football when he needs to. He is just a quarterback-friendly receiver, and the chemistry is obvious, and I think it's real. I think he's built to be the inside guy in this system. As you mentioned, the skill set is ideal. And on top of that, I do think he has the ability to stretch the field with great ball tracking ability. And he's shown all that. It's just been behind the scenes. He's shown the ability to do some of these different things. It's just been on special teams, right? And so getting him into the flow of this offense and seeing what he can do, I think Kayshon Boutte is going to be a guy that's an outside, kind of more of a stagnant receiver, kind of like Nico. There's an opportunity for Noll to be that move guy, I think. And boy, he's got the skill set to make it happen. So we'll see. I believe he has a chance to be the X factor. Now that Higgins, I thought that ship sailed when Higgins was there, because Higgins had become that guy, that priority guy.
Like it made sense.
Oh man, I can't get it out of my mind when I saw Higgins lock out. Man, what's the new safety? The white dude, only white dude on the defense. Oh, what's his name? Blankenship.
We need to have a conversation about Reed Blankenship here in a second.
What happened?
I don't mean it. What
did Reed do?
It was weird. It was a little weird that Reed was the only one on the defense that was playing out
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean.
He's the only starter now. They traded Smith, which may help us, but he was the only starter on defense that played out there.
Well, I mean, he had to get out there and get some run.
He got like three series of run, which is odd. Anyway,
well, Higgins locked him up on the backside of a run. I can't help but think that this coaching staff sat in a meeting room, and when that happened, boy, they put it on a highlight reel. You know what I mean? The backside of it. I mean, that is what they're going to ask, of their wide receivers. And I do wonder if that piece Jalen Noll can accomplish or execute consistently. Because when you look at the bigger bodied receivers, they got a better chance, especially if it's going to be outside, edge players or safeties even coming down in the box. They got a much better chance of blocking them. I do wonder if the size and the length that Jalen Noll doesn't have, it becomes a problem. But everything else, man, I think he's got a chance to be a real X factor. And the path is clear with with Higgins getting injured. The path is clear.
I hope it is because and maybe that's the point you're making of he's probably now got to be the move guy. I just hope it is clear because his injury did make it seem like, I don't know if what they saw from Hutchinson made them a believer of things, but it looked like Hutch had passed him, and it looked like he had to battle. He's potentially having to battle Hutchinson now. So, Boutte, Higgins, probably similar roles. Is he still that third guy? And I think we'll figure that out coming up leading into Buffalo. But I do wonder if it's him or if it is Xavier Hutchinson that they really believe in, but. Yeah, Jalen Noll, he's definitely got an opportunity now with the injury situation. All right, coming up as we continue right here, college football is about to get started, and we are in a unique period right now that all of the, I would say, three of the top major schools that people really think about and care about here all seem to be really happy where they are at the quarterback position, including the Texas Longhorns. We're going to go through and look at old Arch Manning and figure out what are realistic expectations for him. We'll let our quarterback break down Arch Manning. We'll talk a little Longhorn Arch Manning football coming up next right here live on the drive.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as we are live here on The Drive. A lot happening today on the show. It's been a fun time. If you missed it earlier, you can check it out on the YouTube channel or Twitch as Doug Vosick was in with the Texans, who is leading that group that helped with the design and the decisions of the new uniforms. If you have not seen them, you could see them. We had the new helmet. Clint wore the new helmet for as long as he could. We had the Tank Dell jersey, the pants. It was
When it became a distraction, boys, I had to take it off. Doug said he's having a hard time staying focused because
is that why you took it off?
Because that helmet was squeezing my head. Yeah,
I didn't think you could hang on it very much longer.
Oh no, it wasn't bad. It was actually surprisingly. I thought Tank's head would be significantly smaller than mine, but apparently it's not. I mean, I'd say a little chunky in the cheeks.
So you just remove those. That would have been.
I think it's all one piece now. Back in the day, you could just snap the old jaw pads out and get a thinner one in there, and that helmet would fit you. But I could have done with a little slightly less pressure on my cheeks.
Right there.
Yeah,
a little snug right there.
I'm sure I look like you just crammed baby Huey into a little helmet.
It was coming up a little high, but no, man, it wasn't a bad look. But you can go check it out: the helmet, the jersey, as they brought those in. They are. Clean as a whistle, to be honest. All right, Clint, college football, I think week zero starts coming up this weekend, and then we'll be at full effect. We'll be having our Saturday slate and all of that, picking games, and this season's going to get started. There's some big one. Hell, there's some big one for Texas coming up early. Week two, they'll take on Ohio State. So it's getting near us, Clint. And one of the things here, A&M, who's ranked in the top 10, Texas, who's ranked in the top 5, and then you've got the University of Houston, who's ranked in the top 25 as well. All three of these teams feel and should feel like they have a chance to win their conference and have a chance to get to a college football playoff. All three of the teams should feel that way, and I think the expectations are leaning that way, and a lot of it is, Clint, we have a unique period here where all three of those teams have quarterbacks that they have had play for them before, so a couple of them multiple years. When it comes to A&M and Texas, he's been there, 3 years, 4 years now, Arch?
Oh, yeah.
This will be year four. He sat behind old buddy for 2 years.
Quinn Ewers.
So they have familiarity with their quarterbacks, and they should all, the fan bases and coaches, should all feel pretty good about their quarterback situation. And I want to go through these guys. Today we'll look at Arch Manning and the expectations are sky high for Arch Manning. They're as high as anybody in college football. He is clearly a Heisman Trophy candidate, projected to be the number one overall pick in next year's draft, and thought to be highly productive this year, especially the way his season ended last year. I will say this first, Clint, when you look at Arch Manning, what is it about Arch at the college level going into this season that makes him special?
Well, I mean, I think that it's what makes him special. I think it's yet to be seen.
Yeah. Okay.
Arch Manning is a good quarterback, a really good quarterback.
At least his pros, his pros, the things that he wins with.
Yeah, look, I think Arch Manning physically, tangibly, is a tad bit overrated. I don't think athletically he is near as athletic as folks think he is. From an arm talent or an arm strength perspective, I think he's above average, obviously, but I don't think he's a five-star talent. I don't think he is a tangible number one overall draft pick. I don't think he is a tangible Heisman Trophy candidate early, a preseason Heisman Trophy candidate. Nothing that Arch Manning does physically puts you in a spot where you go, okay, this is a Josh Allen arm strength or a Pat Mahomes arm talent or a Lamar Jackson athletic ability, right? There's just there's not a trait like that that I think is five star or elite at the NFL level, right? So I think what to me what Arch Manning has to do, Ron, and this is the big question, right? Is every time I watch Arch Manning play, he might put up 400 yards. He might win a big game, but it looks difficult. Like at some point, you know, we talked about what game was that first preseason game with Carson Beck and Haynes King, right? And Haynes King put up better numbers, but if you watch the game, Haynes King looked like he was out of breath the whole damn time. And Carson Beck looked like a pro. He was over there just taking the easy, boy, limiting risk, just knew where he was going with the ball, was playing the ball, playing the game at an elite level between the ears. To me, Arch Manning has played the game more so in the vein of like what Haynes King did that first preseason game, where just everything, yeah, you win, you score points, you lead the team, but everything looks so difficult. The Arkansas Razorback, worst defense in football last year. I mean, made Arch Manning sore the next day, and it should have been just like taking candy from a baby. So I say all that to say I don't think there's like a super elite trait. I think he's got to go out there and play the game in an extremely clean fashion. He's got to win between the ears. He's got to go out there and prove that he's super cerebral, that he can process at an extremely high level, and that he can play the position in an efficient, clean manner. Now, I think there's a when you look at Sarkisian's offense, I think there is a level of risk that you have to take in order to execute his offense. So there's going to be some of that, but he's got to find a happy medium, Ron. It can't be going out there, and every game can't be as difficult as he seems to make every game that I'm watching. So I think it's more of just – it's less about elite traits because he doesn't have them and more about playing the game and the position at an elite level because he can process and see things quicker than most.
What should be the realistic expectations for Arch this year?
Oh, I think the expectations are fair. I just don't think they're due to, like, elite traits.
Yeah,
I think the expectation of winning a Heisman, I think the expectation of being a number one overall pick.
That's realistic expectation.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think he's just not – typically when you talk about number one overall draft pick, we're talking about a guy that's got some kind of crazy arm talent or arm strength or athletic ability or tangible ability. I just don't believe that Arch has those. I know people have tried to sell him as that over the years. And I'm not saying he's not athletic and can't make plays. I mean, that's the furthest thing from the truth. But it's like he ran that long touchdown against UTSA as a backup when he came in for Quinn Ewers in a blowout, I think. Or maybe Quinn got hurt. But he ran that long touchdown. It's like, oh, everybody started talking about this guy like he's Lamar Jackson or something. I'm like, nah, that ain't the deal. That don't translate.
Yeah.
Right? So I think he's just got to be more efficient, protect himself, protect the ball, be cleaner in that offense. And I think he'll accomplish or at least be in the conversation of a Heisman Trophy and a number one overall pick along the way.
There it is, Tyler's favorite, Arch Manning. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Good.
Tyler's favorite, Arch Manning. Coming up, I've had some time to think about it and sleep on the trade and the Texans bringing in Kayshon Booty. And I think I've kind of arrived at this is a move in which he could be more important than what Jaden Higgins brings to the table. Could be. I'll tell you the one thing that holds me back into thinking not. We'll discuss that next.
Booty, 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 rocking everywhere!
Rocking everywhere!
Rocking everywhere!
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Texans made themselves a big move yesterday, especially just filling a void that was not on the roster yet to be filled. Even though they had added the veterans Friday with Sterling Shepard and adding Zay Jones, they still, in my opinion, did not have a bona fide walking into week one against Buffalo, a guy that you look at and say, I know for a fact that guy is a starting wide receiver in the NFL. Maybe some hopes, but I know. They make the move for Kayshon Booty, and they have delivered on that. And there's been conversation. There was conversation when the move first happened. I know we did a crosstalk within the loop and going back and forth. Like, and I think you said it also. Before training camp, I think most people would have said Kayshon Booty is the superior player over Jaden Higgins. Now, I think we've been able to see him in training camp, and we've listened to the jump. DeMeco, as DeMeco said when he got injured, he was somebody that he pointed out all the time in the offseason. And we did see not only some improvements, but it looked like there was clearly a different plan for Higgins and how they were going to approach him. So there was a lot of excitement on that, and, you know, it's on pause right now, and hopefully he can still give us a chance to see what he brings to the table. I don't know who's the better receiver, Clint. I don't. I mean, you can look at their numbers. Last year was Higgins' first year. It was his third. Higgins played three more games, and Booty and him both had around the same amount of yards, same touchdowns. And, you know, now they're built a little different, 5'11 to 203 to, you know, the 6'4, 6'5 range of what Higgins is. I don't know who's the best of the two. But the reason why I said in the tease, I think there is a real potential that Booty could be more important than Higgins. And that is what he brings to the table. His skill set that he brings to the table is something that I don't think the Texans have proven right now in their locker room. And it is something that other defenses around the league and coordinators believe and know it and have been hurt by it. And that is his ability to make plays down the field. Last year, he was the fourth most efficient receiver in football in terms of plays and catches 20 yards or more down the field. The people in front of him, George Pickens, Christian Watson for the Packers when he was healthy, and then Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was the offensive player of the year. He, like, down the field. Now, I don't know if he's a better, I don't think he's a better route runner than what I've seen from Higgins. There's a lot of things. But down the field and the threat of going down the field is something that this organization has needed and they have not had. And that is something that I think he brings to the table more than Higgins does right now. That Joker ran a lot of nine routes, ran a lot of routes down the field, and everybody in the league knows it and knows what he's capable of. Hopefully we're saying that a lot this year. But I do think that important skill set that he brings to the table that affects you before the snap, affects you during the week, that affects teams during the play that can help others around. And we know CJ ain't afraid to throw it. So I think that skill set may be even more important than what Higgins brings to the table.
Yeah, look, I think when you look at the knowns about the two guys, all we know about Higgins is he had a good training camp, and last year he was an effective receiver that produced a bit
and
played the game kind of timid because it was his first year in the offense. Right, but we don't know exactly what a full speed, knowing the offense like the back of his hand, Jaden Higgins looks like. We know what Kayshon Booty is capable of doing. And that is if you just believe that what we've seen is what we get. Like, there is, you know, he plays the game and he's not this guy, but when I talk about him, like, he plays, y'all, fans out there can remember, like, DeAndre Hopkins never, like, he could literally on a slant route have a DB hanging on his back and would catch the ball effortlessly, right? He never relied on blazing speed to get open, but yet he always got open, right? And so the combination of strong hands, some length, great hand eyeball, you know, hand eyeball is coordination is big, and not having to be wide open in order to get a catch is a big part of his game. And so I think the part we know about Butte is very complimentary to Nico. It's very complimentary to CJ Stroud. It's very complimentary to the tight ends that we have on this team. And so I think Jaden Higgins probably has a higher ceiling overall, to your point. 6'4", 215, seemed to be coming in a big way. But stylistically, I think your overall point is like Kayshawn Booty brings something to this team that the other guys didn't. I'll agree with that.
No, I think Buffalo's coordinator and their plan for the defense changed in some ways. Like with him being on the field now, I think they've seen him twice a year. Like he hurt them before. Like, hey, we got it. We know he can beat you. He can hurt you deep. And that helps Nico. That helps Dalton.
Yeah.
That helps so many guys. If you just have the threat. Now the only thing that gets me concerned is how does conservative Kaylee and the Texans operate here?
That's good.
Tyler,
that was good.
Tyler came up with that. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, thank you.
Tyler came up with conservative Kaylee.
That's good.
I thought about.
I hope it's inaccurate, but that's good.
I have my moments.
I thought about stealing it and just making it my own. Mm. But I just could not.
You tried to, but you just didn't. You didn't. You knew it. You knew in your gut it was the wrong.
I did
thing
it
to
earlier.
Kind of like when you rolled the window down and hollered at that girl with the haircut. You knew in your gut it was creepy.
Right after I let it go.
Old conservative Kale.
My concern is, do they? At some point, do teams look at this and say, "Well, they're not really going down the field." Like, they're not, even with him on the team, that's not really how they're going to go about things. We still can't feel good about kind of suffocating this group because they're not going to really go down it. Because I think CJ will throw it.
Yeah.
And I think he'll run it because that's just kind of in their nature. And the other part is we know it can be done in this offense because it's the same offense that he's coming from.
Well, I do think there is a, you know, Nico obviously is going to get a ton of attention. Hopefully. The Texans run the ball effectively to where maybe not all the time, but they can force teams into closing the middle of the field and bringing a safety down to help against the run. Those two things right there should present a lot of opportunity for whatever wide receivers playing opposite Nico, right? Whether it's 12 personnel or 21 personnel. I mean, anytime there's two receivers on the field, I would imagine it's going to be Nico and Booty. And at the end of the day, when you look at the other two, though, they're gonna those two things, definitely Nico, hopefully the run game, garner a little bit more attention. There's going to be opportunity for that backside guy, right? There's going to be more opportunity for Kayshawn Booty to come in here and have a better season than he did last year playing with Steph Diggs and Hunter Henry, right? Nico is better than both of those guys, right? And so I would think that the opportunity is going to present itself for him to play some of the best football that we've seen.
All right, coming up, we'll get you ready for a little 5 o'clock fire. The Astros, they start a big series in New York, and we'll let you know about the latest of what Joe Espada has had to say today. We'll give you the lineups to get you set up for that as well. And the Texans, we talked about it, the new uniforms they released, and they have headed to Carolina for joint practice with the Panthers. Some key potential matchups there. What are we intrigued to look at? And the Big Ten said, nah, man, we ain't getting in this game that the SEC is getting in. We'll let you know and discuss all of that little 5 o'clock fire coming up.